Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Broadcasting from his home studio in the beautiful California is my buddy Jesse Lives. Jesse, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
I don't know. Everything is going on. Everything is going on. What's going on with you?
Man, I tell you, last week has been fucking crazy with work and everything. A bunch of these assholes around here like to shut their pools down, which means we got to drain half the pool down, chem it, put their covers on, everything. And that shit's fucking annoying. So, you know, just keep your fucking pools open, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be that bad, all right? The price you pay to, the price you pay to close it and the price you pay to open it back up in the spring is what your fucking electric bill is going to fucking be throughout the wintertime. So just keep the fucking pool running as long as there's circulation. The water can't freeze. It's fine. But anyways, that and an old man almost fucking killed me today because he ran a red light. So that was fun. And then waited in the store in Taco Bell today for my lunch for like 15 minutes. So I said, fuck it, y'all haven't even started this shit yet. Give my money back. It's been a fucking day, buddy. It's been a fucking week, let me tell you. It's been a fucking week.
Well, at least it hasn't been boring.
You know, I had my vacation, which is why we took the sabbatical for the month. I had vacation time, and then you had your own things that you were doing. You were traveling around and stuff. So, you know, we're back. And I'm glad to be back. You know, when I really honestly miss this. I miss this 2 hours on a Friday. You know, just I love talking to music. So, you know, having a whole month off, like that's, you know, you kind of get out of the groove. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that happens sometimes. But I think we're pretty good at recuperating. Off of it.
True that.
You know, it does. But I will say this, you know, through the break, I got to see an artist who I've always wanted to see. It's Clint Black.
I think that you posted that.
He was at the county fair. I know it's kind of, you know, white trashy, but I am white trash, so.
I don't want to hear that. You be blessed that you still have your fair. I grew up, if you from where I'm from, the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds is everything, and that shit is that it's like when you were growing up, there was just that one hot chick, and you were always cool with her, and then you seen her like 20 years later, and it's like, what the fuck happened to you? that's what I fairgrounds. Right, that's what our fairgrounds look like. So, bro, no, that ain't even white trash. Like, at least you guys still have yours. I wish there's a lot of fond memories and a lot of motherfuckers got beat the fuck up at the fair. So,
well,
I'm jealous that you still have yours.
It's been probably, I don't know, 8-9 years since I've been to a fair. So, you know, the rides and stuff, you know, I don't give two shit. The only reason we went was to go see Clint Black. We got some food real quick before the show started, seen him, and then walked the hell out. I got me a cool little Clint Black hat. It's just a black hat with silver lettering. It just says Clint Black on it. So got me a little merch, supported the man for everything he's done, which, is not much, but, So then, and then I got to see Teddy Swims Wednesday. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Teddy Swims?
No, but you just put me up on some game. I'm going to have to find out who that is.
He is an amazing artist in my, and he's one of those underground guys. He's not big time in yet. He's not like, nationally known or anything like that, but I think he's getting there. I think he's absolutely 100% well on his way. His voice is absolutely amazing. And he sounds the same live as he does when he's recorded, which is totally cool because not a whole bunch of artists are like that, believe it or not. There's always like a different, like people, that's what the mastering and the mixing is, whatever, all this stuff, changing things around, but he's just as cool as can be. Like, so we had the VIP, the meet and greet and stuff like that. He just walked up, gave my girl a hug, gave me a hug. We turned around, snapped some fucking photos. And we walked away. He's like, damn, y'all smell good. So we got to get in before a majority of everybody. We got like three songs from him with just like, there was probably 75 people that had got VIP passes. Something like that, 75, 80 people. It's just a small group of us, right up on the stage, got a few close shots, and then once the general pop and everything started, they started letting them in, they fucking just, we sat up in like a rafters section, just kind of looking down because I don't do that, elbows to assholes. I don't do that no more. That's not me. When I was younger, yeah. I did the mosh pit thing, and I did, I didn't give a fuck. I'll get as close to the stage. Like, I'll fight my way to the fucking front. No, I don't do that now. Y'all have that shit. I'm too old. I'm grown. I don't want to do that. I'm going to sit back, watch, and just chill and just enjoy the show and just be grateful that I'm there. So
you learned. See, I've always been bougie. I ain't going to lie. Even when I was a kid. Because I always wanted to watch the show. I never understood I get it, but fuck the experience. I came here to see whoever that is. So
right.
I'll sit in the nosebleed seats just so I can watch the show. I've always been, even when I was 7, 8, 9, going to the jazz festival with my parents. Like, I want to see the dude play the flute, damn it. Like, let me get my snacks and my little drink, and I want to see the guy with the hat play the trumpet. I'm cool. So I feel you.
So that's what it is, but, It was absolutely incredible. So if you've never heard, check him out, dude. Teddy Swims.
Yeah.
He's got a song out that that's why my girlfriend fell in love with him. He's talking about if his girlfriend leaves him, he's like, if you're gonna leave me, leave. Set the bed on fire. Set the bed on fire. But it's just voice. Set the bed on fire. Set the bed on fire and let it burn, let it burn, let it burn all the way to the ground. So obviously his is much, much better than that. But that's the way the song goes. So you can't.
But
is
he in the bed? Does he want her to set the bed on fire with him in it?
No, he's just using it as a metaphor. Like if you're done with our love, burn our fucking bed.
So, I tell you, I just make a show. You know, motherfuckers are different these days. A lot of people got a death wish. I'm just making a show.
Well, I don't think
that's my commitment.
Right. I think the only person that makes songs like that is Eminem, where he says, next time I'm tired to the bed, set this bed on fire.
Yeah, like, and he got away. Like, we could have a whole show on just that argument. Like, I can't even tell you how many times me and other rap Presarios have debated on all the shit Eminem has gotten away with that no black rapper would ever get away with saying. So that's always my debate when you try to call this motherfucker the GOAT.
The thing is, I'll tell you this, tying a woman to a bed and setting the bed on fire, that is a white person crime.
I understand that, but just for the fact that you put that in a fucking song, though, it's dudes right now that are literally looking at life in prison for what they said in a song, and M has gotten away with. Now, mind you, I am an Eminem fan. I have the Infinite album, the original one, like before we knew he was black. You see what I'm saying? When we all thought he was, because there was a time we thought Eminem was black, because the way they promoted him was really dope in the beginning, because all they did was, it was just a black album with an E on it. So we didn't know he was white at first. This is before we had social media and shit like that. That was how they marketed him in the beginning. It was just a black album with a white E. So we were just listening to the bars. So I'm just saying, I'm a fan of his all the way back when. But that motherfucker has said some shit that there is no way in hell you could be the GOAT. I'm sorry, because you just got away with so many trick bars. There's just certain shit, like, I'm sorry, that Jay-Z couldn't say. I'm just going to be real with you. There's just certain things. Jay-Z couldn't talk about fucking stepdad in the ass. This is just not happening, okay?
Right, right.
No. Like, that would be just, okay, he's canceled.
Again, that
is, they would have waited.
That incest stuff, that's why people shit too. So.
I understand, though.
He's rapping about our shit.
I get it. But even somebody who raps about fucking wild shit like Brother Lynch Hung mutilating people and stuff like that, like, he's never went there with it. And he's not considered a GOAT. Like, he's not, like, for as dope as Brother Lynch is, he's never been considered, like, oh, he's one of the top five in hip-hop. People will argue that if you listen to certain fans, they will literally act like hip hop didn't even exist until Eminem started rapping.
Wow.
So
that's
my
fucking
point.
Really good. We both know that. And speaking of rap before Eminem, we need to give a big shout out to Coolio. Rest in peace, Coolio.
Yeah.
Passing away. In L.A.
It's kind of rough for me. I actually knew Coolio personally, so that's weird.
Did you really?
That he died. Yeah. He was in weird happenstances. Like, how I met Coolio was on the most randomest shit. So I was dating this girl from Canada at the time, and this is when I was playing indoor football, and she happened to be the I want to say, like, the program director, like, all the events that came to the arena we played in, she was the head of that. And so she asked me the most randomest question, like, if you could bring a artist, like, from the 90s that, like, is big but isn't our budget, and I was like, well, shit, you guys should go get Coolio. And I just said it on some, like, some jerk shit. Like, y'all should just go get Coolio. And then they went and booked them. And then so I ended up having to go as a favor to her, having to go pick him and his entourage up from the airport and take them where they needed to go and then take them back to the airport. And then in the ride from the airport, he was sitting up front with me. And that was the weirdest thing, because he sat up front with me when the rest of his entourage was in the back of the van. And he just sparked up a conversation, like, so, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? This and that. And I just happened to be, I'm from San Jose, and he happens to have relatives from San Jose. And a lot of people don't know, Coolio went to high school in San Jose for a few years. And then from that conversation, we were just, you know, chopping it up. But it was just, I was just this guy driving him from the airport, and he just talked to me like he had known me for years. And then I just would run into him. And this was before I was even thinking about being in music or, you know, on that level. And then I would just run into him at different stages of my career. And then when I got on the music end, you know, you run into somebody enough times, they remember you after a while. And so that's how I got to know him. So when I would run into him or where I would be at his shows or things like that, he would always, you know, hey, come back here with us. Hey, this the boy. This is my boy from the Bay, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I got to know him. So I learned a lot from him by just him always remembering me when he saw me and letting me be around his situation when I did run into him. And he was like, to me, he was one of the most unfamous acting famous people I've ever met in music. And that's a rare thing. Because no matter how humble a lot of these dudes say they are, they're really not. It's an act. This dude, he's the kind of guy that if he's eating, like, because he was big on cooking, too. So,
He came out with his own cookbook. He was cooking with Coolio.
Right. Hella hood. Like, if he was in the hood, like, he would go get Chuck's steak, and he knew how to marinate it and make it like it was filet mignon. And, yeah, just a really cool guy, you know. I mean, I learned a lot just by just on some little brother shit, being around him, watching how he conducted himself. And he's honestly one of the biggest reasons why I always wanted to put a band together and take that on the road as a hip-hop artist, because he put it in my mind, like, stop looking at yourself like a rapper and start looking at yourself like the leader of a band. That's a whole different set of money. You know what I'm saying? And it's the weirdest thing, because, okay, so here's some game he gave me. He's like, when you run into me in the street, act like it's the first time we met. Only you and I need to know we know each other. And he was teaching me how not to clout chase. But this was before clout chasing was a thing. Which is crazy, you know, when you think about it. Because I've ran into him a bunch of times, being able to open up for him, but in different scenarios. And it's true. Because you don't want to be like, oh, I know that's my partner. I know. Why? So there's a lot of guys that I personally know that if I run into them on the business side of things, I'll just treat them normally. I won't put them in a bind. I won't obligate them. Because it's weird, because it's not them sometimes. It's the people you're with that thinks that if you have an in with them, you can get certain extras, and that takes the pressure off you from having to live up to that. It's weird. It's just a game that I learned from Coolio, you know?
I had no idea that you knew him. So that's really cool that, you know, you get some inside information, you know, on, you know, who he was and how he was as a person, you know, his, you know, a lot of famous people aren't always, you know, what you see on TV, you know? So,
yeah. And he's an OG in the literal sense, like in the street. Well, LA's a small place. You know, California's a small place when you're in the industry. And the thing about Coolio is he was there's a lot of guys that say, well, I'm certified in these streets, I'm respected in the street. He died young, but we're still talking about a guy that lived to be in his 50s that's from Southern California. That's a rarity.
Right.
To live. I mean, old age is not a thing in gang culture. Let's just be real.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And we're talking about a gentleman that was respected by Tupac. Was close friends with Pac, and Pac got advice from Coolio at times. And I hope they really do him justice and tell the story of his life in the right way, because his influence is really strong on the independent level.
Right. Well, you know, they'll come out with some sort of documentary about him now, either Netflix or Hulu.
Right. I hope they do a good job, because they often leave the human side of that person out when they do
it,
you know.
Right. Do more in depth and do some more soul searching on the man for sure.
Yes, indeed.
But to the situation at hand here, we have Uno the Prodigy coming on with us tonight. Uno, we had him scheduled. Let's see, in September, and something had happened. We had miscommunication with him as far as what happened on the timeline of when the show was. So, you know, and shit happens, you know. And me and Jesse say that all the time. It doesn't matter, you know, things come up in people's lives. Boom, you know. We had DL Downer in December of last year, and we had to change it because his mom went to the hospital. At the time, you know, so shit happens and shit comes up, and nobody's perfect. I've had to cancel shows because of, you know, things going on in my life. But, you know, it is what it is. But You know, without further ado, I believe we got him on the line here, so let's go ahead and bring him on there. Uno, you there?
Yes, sir. What's good? What's good?
Hey, man, what's going on? I appreciate you being patient with us. I know you were on there for a couple minutes there.
No, no, of course, man. Yeah, it was dope listening to the conversation and shit, man. But rest in peace, Coolio, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, man, just kind of get right into it, man. This, you know, first time on Note by Note. You know, it's, you know, what's tell
them
about
the rules,
you, man.
Tell them the rules first, bro. Tell them the rules first, bro. So he knows his freedoms.
Okay, well, so we have a rule real quick. Sorry.
Yeah.
We have a rule on the show that there are no rules. So you can say what the fuck you want, just as long as you are not derogatory in any way to any kind of group or organization or anything like that. You know, stay
all
on
time,
the PC, but you can cuss as much as you want because we don't give a shit up in this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Two, if you say some real shit, some slick shit, some like mind blowing shit, you will hear a bomb go off in the background on the soundboard, and that's just because that's what we do in
here. Or somebody will yell, "That's a bar," or I'll yell, "That's a gym." So just know I'm not cutting you off. I'm just pointing it out, like message to the listener, message
all
rapper
good.
Dude listening to us. That was a bar.
For sure, for
so,
sure. Right, good.
Yeah, so speak
good.
Your mind, bro.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
For sure. That sounds good, bro.
But other than that, man, the floor is yours. You know, just tell us about you, man. Tell us about Uno.
Man, I was born and raised out of Southeast San Diego, California. That's in Southern California for people who don't know where that's at. I was born in a place called Skyline. Predominantly a gang infested neighborhood, but it really developed me and my homies who I grew around into who we are. Had to go through a lot of bullshit to figure that out, but the end result was God given, I guess you could say. But I got into rapping probably about the age of 15, and I really started taking it serious about 3 years ago. Big bro, he was a drug addict, man. He shot up and passed away of an overdose. Me and him used to talk about, because he was a really good tattoo artist, and we used to talk about, when you go on tour, I'm going to go on tour with you, man. I'm going to tattoo you up after the shows. And when he passed away, it just kind of put things in perspective and things into focus and kind of put me on game as far as, you know, what I need to take this shit serious and see where it can actually go. So yeah, man, that's pretty much me. I've been into music my whole life as well. I like all types of music, man. I grew up on oldies first. Then started listening to rock. Rap was kind of the last, like rap and hip hop was kind of the last shit that I got into. But when I got into that, it was kind of game over as far as my interest in music and shit.
Okay, all right, sir. Is there any like significant event or anything that you know just made you click in your head, you know, this, you know, or a song that you heard one day that just, you know, made it click, or you think it was just in you
honestly,
whole time?
Man, if I'm being real, it's not even because he passed away, but Gangsta's Paradise was the first rap song I had ever heard in my life, and it's probably because of how commercial it became from the movie when the movie came out, Dangerous Minds and shit, but it was the first rap song that I had memorized. I fell in love with the chorus that he had put in there because it was real melodic. I kind of grew up in a church environment too, you know what I'm saying, like streets and church. So, you know what I'm saying, I was used to hearing that choir-like, you know what I mean, I don't know how to explain it, just I guess the beautifulness of the voices, you know what I mean, together. But that song and probably Tupac, Shorty Want to Be a Thug.
Yeah. Okay.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for myself, I remember when Gangsta's Paradise came out. At the time in my life, it was real big. for the kids to meet up at the skating rink on Friday night. And so that's, you know, what we did. And I remember, like, going and like, requesting Gangsta's Paradise. And we'd hear it two or three times, you know, in, you know, 5-6 hours at the skating rink on a Friday night. Just a bunch of little heathen children rolling around in the skating rink, you know, singing this like we were some bad motherfuckers. So stupid.
Hey, man, that's what it is, though, bro. It's good times.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the stupidest shit you did, bro, you're because I don't even want to talk about the stupid
shit.
Yeah, you're pretty good, homie.
You're pretty good.
No, not even close. Like, not even close. Well, I tell you, such a stupid shit I done. I should have been dead a long time ago, son. That's not even a joke.
The first thought I had is, man, remember the days when you could go places and there's not be no fight so nobody get fucking stuck up or shot? Like, that's the shit I miss about being a kid. Like we're just gonna, we're just cool. Like, literally, you could see the fucking other side and be like, bro, Monday.
And I kind of grew up in an area too where it was never. I mean, like, you had gunshots and shit, but it was mostly from other gangs. But you know what I mean? In the area that I grew up in, you had a problem with somebody, you just threw hands. You know what I mean? Caught the fade real quick, shook hands afterwards, and that's what it was.
Right. You got off at the wrong bus stop to do what you had to do.
Yep. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How'd a kid not show up at the bus stop anymore after what I did to him? That's not a fucking lie either. And I was defending my older brother at the time.
Oh,
he's
3 years
older than me, and I whipped his fucking ass.
Some of the shit he's in the family, huh?
Oh, yeah, for real.
Yeah. That's a whole other show.
Yeah. I don't know, for real.
The fights.
For real.
I've been in it over my brothers. I can say I've fought like a good 80% of the hood over my brother, because he could start a fight with
me,
like, straight up. Like, he was not taking no disrespect from nobody. It would be like, you got him and him, and I got him and him. Like, fuck, what? Okay.
Shit is all bad.
So, what are you working on right now, Udo?
Right now, man, I've been working on a lot of singles, man. I got a lot of shit that's kind of in the archives. I kind of been letting the shit that I've released so far just kind of simmer, you know what I mean, in the releases that I have, you know what I mean? So I'm planning on releasing probably a couple more tracks within the next month. I'm working on an EP with DL Downer. Just did a track for Cordell, man. Shot him a little verse today. And, I'm just kind of all over the board with it, man. I got a band that I fuck with too. I know I was listening to the other dude on the last interview talk about that shit. And I got a band. I do some rock and rap shit, you know what I mean? Kind of more aggressive than Linkin Park, but more hip hop oriented. You know what I mean? I'm trying to bring like one thing that I didn't feel like Linkin Park and Biscuit and all this shit had was a real street feeling when it came to the lyrical content that they were putting out. And I'm not talking about gang shit, but more like the feeling of like real East Coast hip hop. You know what I mean? Cause that's what I fell in love with. I love West Coast hip hop. I grew up on the West Coast. The East Coast hip hop just gravitated more with me because of how they placed their lyrics and shit. And I mean, it was just a science. As far as like wordplay,
oh, yeah.
And I mean wordsmithing.
Yes, bars is bars, B.
Yes, sir.
That's always a debate. We got to put the bars over the bullshit.
Off top.
I'm glad you said that shit, though. I think that's a very it's lost on us right now. Lyricism is it's not appreciated like it should be. And you're right about the type of hip hop, rock, or whatever you want to call it. I don't even know. They never really gave it a name, but because it was really commercial. It was more like pop with a grunge feel.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, for sure.
So I appreciate you for doing that, and I'm interested in hearing it.
Good looking up.
You see what I'm saying? Because
because
that's a hard conversation to have with individuals because. They don't, people like music but they don't care about it on that level enough to really want to get in depth with, like, nah, bro, that shit was hella commercial. You don't even get it. Like, I don't even – he probably came up with that shit in 15 minutes and that rhymed with that. Like, I've gotten eyes rolled at me so many times about, like, bro, this fool's garbage. What do you mean? Like, that shouldn't go with that. Like, you should be mad that he said that with that. But, okay, never mind. I digress.
I'm on the same shit, bro. A lot of really talented artists, bro, that came out on the radio and shit, man. I didn't really get into them, man, for years, just because they were on the radio at first. You know what I mean? And J. Cole was one of the people, bro. Like, I just kind of stood off on him for years. You know what I'm saying? Until the first time I put on one, I think it was what is it called? Fire Squad.
Right.
And right when I heard that, I was like, man, this shit is fucking over, homie. This motherfucker is a beast. Like, this shit is wicked, homie. And I there's a lot of good people in this generation right now, you know what I mean, that can really stand on their own as far as the forefront of real hip-hop shit goes. But as far as, like, a lot of the commercial shit that's out right now and a lot of the shit that, like, even my kids are listening to, I got a 13-year-old and a, you know what I mean, 13-year-old girl, 12-year-old boy, and my son, man, as much as I have implanted a lot of hip-hop into him, he still listens to the new shit sometimes. And he doesn't really understand that even a lot of the new shit is about, it's about gang culture, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's about doing drugs. Right. Like, a lot of the shit nowadays is glorified drug addicts rapping. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty much how I look at it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a hater. I'm not trying to hate on nothing. The style's cool. Style's dope as fuck. But with kids listening to it, it's like, okay, for sure. You know what I'm saying? It's not really, it's always been an issue, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids listening to hip hop and shit like that.
Right.
But you know what I mean, just from a parent's point of view right now, you know what I'm saying, it's just like, man, you know what I mean, like, they just kind of glorifying doing drugs and shit.
And I don't think that's something that it would, I think it would be very, very hard for the hip hop rap genre to completely ever get away with that, away from that.
For sure.
Because of, I mean, that's how a lot of it started, you know. You know, they were, you know, the, you know, gangs are, you know, selling drugs and doing this. And one of the guys is pretty good, you know. They put him up, you know, get him a demo and start supporting him in his career, you know, because of the, you know, of the drug game, you know, and what they're doing, you know. So, you know, it's a lot how a lot of that started, you know, back in the day. That's where that income was coming from. You know, because it's fucking
even,
street life. Jesus, I mean, that's
off top. That even goes for like fucking New York City and a lot of states in the United States when the mob was hitting. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the same conversation, bro. Selling drugs, making money, and that's what really put those cities on. You know what I mean? Where they're at.
Oh yeah, and for sure, man. And mob too. You know, yeah. You know, they put a lot of Italian singers and stuff like that up and everything like that. I mean, it did a perfect example of that in the Godfather movies. Remember the Godfather?
Yep,
got him thing, and then got him that acting, you know, that acting job in the movie or whatever. And that's why that director guy ended up with that horse, that stallion head in his bed that next day or whatever. You know, because that's the kind of shit that, you know, that's the shit that happens, you know? So,
right. But they leave out the parts that they extorted the hell out of them in that process. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those guys didn't eat like they should have. And so they were famous. But a lot of those dudes died destitute because that was just another racket the mob had, which they still have. Let's just keep it funky. They still, when you're talking about mainstream music, that's still those. Those organizations don't go away.
The mob, built Vegas. The mob built Vegas.
Hell yeah.
So
hell yeah.
That is the only reason Vegas exists, you know, was because of the mob. So
let's keep it funky. And Vegas, Atlantic City, like anywhere
New York,
for the most part.
Any of that stuff with that gambling and everything, and you know. Where you drinking, especially, you know, because that's another thing, you know. I mean, that's how us Americans got through Prohibition, was because of the mob.
Yeah, well, shit.
Right.
The mobs were the bootleggers. Right. That's how we got everything into this country, was because of them.
Right.
So,
but if you really bust it down, no, that's the American way, bro. That's what capitalism is by another name.
That's fucked up as it is, bro. That's some real ass shit. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? That is the one thing. That is our code. If you say I'm from America, that's our culture, bro. Get it how you fucking live. Like my side against your side, or fucking click up with us. You know what I'm saying? Like
absolutely.
America is the ultimate get down or lay down when we're talking about money.
Real shit.
And this is the only way. Because think about how the ghetto really happens. Like we take all the resources and we put it over there on the rich side of town, and we give you this one resource and say, two men enter, one man leave. Figure it out.
Yep. Introduce.
That's pretty much the hood.
Drugs into the poverty stricken areas too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. That's definitely. You know what I mean? You know, and that's just really you know, government, you know, trying to suppress citizens. You know, that's exactly what that was.
The American way. You're right, but like that's the American way. Think about what capitalism is, like. That's
pushing the little guy down.
Like,
you're right.
Yeah, we capitalize on your work. Like, it's crazy as it sounds. Yeah. Come on over.
Modern day slavery.
What? And then we'll tell you that those light skinned dudes over there are fucking up. We'll tell you those guys over there who don't speak English, they're fucking up. And then we'll tell them the same thing about you. And then we'll let you motherfuckers fight it out, and while we get rich over here. ain't that America in a nutshell? Like, I'm just saying, it's a bad thing. I see it as the funny thing is, for me as personally, I appreciate that hustle, because I wouldn't be where I am without the mentality of I got to go get it. I got to make this happen. I got to figure this. The obstacle is that. So there's, you know, we have the bad and the good with it. But when we think about mob mentality, that's kind of what we do on any level in every culture for the most part.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, in 2022, in this day and age, if you don't think that the fucking government is up some to fucking some hoodoo and voodoo and shit, then you're in fucking denial and you're naive as fuck. That's right, you know. So.
Right. Well, there's this comedian. I can't remember the guy's name, but he came across my timeline yesterday, and he made this joke, and he was asking this lady in the crowd. It was a black dude that was a comedian, and he was asking a white lady, and he was saying, like, you don't believe in any conspiracy theories. And she was like, no. He's like, so you don't believe in any government conspiracy theories? The lady was like, no. He said, okay. He's like, I go with that. He said, now, mind you, I have one kid, right? And I'm only in charge of one kid. So basically, I'm the government in my house, and I lie to my kid all the time. And that was really a joke.
I seen that on my TikTok about a week ago. I seen that clip, and I don't know who the guy was, but it was just at a stand-up bar, and I remember seeing that clip. And you're exactly right. You know, the government is trying to take care of all the kids, you know, and he's got one kid. And I lie to that motherfucker all the time. So.
So back to Uno. We done got on a whole other left.
Oh, we did. Uno, you just reel us back in when we cast that.
My bad.
No,
you
know what I'm saying?
Good.
It would go
conversation
off.
Is good, bro.
Just reel it back. Hey, this show's about me, goddammit. And then we'll be like, oh, shit, you're back. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good, man.
So I heard you say something, and you tapped on something that's very close to my heart, because it's always been a joke in my circle, that I'm the most East Coast sounding West Coast person they know. Tell us more about the influence of East Coast music on your career and on your style now.
Man, I mean, I grew up on some, you know what I mean, Method Man, fucking Wu-Tang, man. I grew up on Mobb Deep, the early shit, you know what I'm saying? I grew up on, not like even straying away from that too, like just as far as real hip hop shit goes, Royce da 5'9", you know what I'm saying? It was always one of my favorite lyricists, you know what I'm saying? I grew up on fucking Vinny Paz, man, underground, some underground shit, Vinny Paz.
Monster.
Jedi Mind Tricks, of course. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mad Child, Yeah, just a lot of, bro. I'm really all over the place when it comes to real hip hop music. But yeah, the East Coast shit, man, it helped me in placing my lyrics where I wanted to put them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was always into Method Man, man, because he always kind of fucking danced on the beat. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
and the way that he lyrically placed his shit and how he would drag on certain words, you know what I'm saying, and then shorten, you know what
right.
I mean, other ones, and then like
right.
he would always put a sound like he was inhaling, you know what I mean, because he was always smoking weed and shit, so he was putting the sound like he was inhaling while he was taking his breath, but it sounded like he was hitting a blunt, you know what I'm saying? So it was
right.
it's super dope and intricate, you know what I'm saying, because that's what I get into detail as far as the hip hop shit goes, but lyrical shit too, you know what I'm saying? The metaphors was always something that pulled me towards hip hop. Battle rapping was something that was real big. Rest in peace, Pasté, man. Man, it's just I'm all over the place. Like I said, when it comes to the hip hop shit and what influences me, but that East Coast shit, man, really just helped mold me into the lyricist that I am today, man. I wouldn't be able to put my songs the way that I wanted to put them without that East Coast foundation. You know what I mean, that I had when I was younger.
Hell yeah.
I couldn't say that shit better than myself.
That's what I was thinking, man. I think that was a perfect segue into our first song. I think we throw one on and we let people hear, you know, what he's talking about, you know.
For sure.
So Uno, you gave us three songs, and we always like to give the artist the opportunity to at least do the first song. Whichever one they want the Note by Note radio show family to hear first. Coming, you know, like if you're going to introduce yourself to somebody, here, listen to this song and tell me what you think.
Man,
so, which one would it be?
I forgot the three songs that I sent you, to be honest.
So, right. No, it was a month ago. I understand. So we've got Horns and Halos.
Yeah.
Traveling. And They Know.
Lyrically, man, I'll do Traveling right now. That's what my boy, it's my boy Karma's song. He's from Oceanside and shit out here in the West Coast. It's a song that he had shot me. It's called Traveling. It's about basically shit that is going on right now, how we're seeing so much. Yeah, you know I mean, we did it when COVID popped off. So it's just about traveling, seeing bullshit after bullshit happen, and just explaining our point of view of it.
Okay. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, this is the song called Traveling, and we have Uno the Prodigy on with us tonight, and we will be right back. Stay with us, and we'll get back to this conversation. Here we go.
Karma, let's get it.
Going on,
yeah.
I swear the world got me thinking all
yo, I've been
long.
Traveling like a backpacker. Bag full of raps, I've been ransacking. Every single thought to push my path backwards. Deal with drama daily, never fade my ethic real. Keep on working even through the heat like my people deal. American, Mexican blood, I keep my heritage. Let the kids free like the land that they swear it is. To the grave, I'll be pushing civil rights with crack breaks. No stops, they tripping on a virus that is man-made. Yeah, I look behind the scenes like reporters doing study moves like Fox just to get my punches through. Look alive, the only thing that promises death. So I'm praying every day for God preserving my breath. That's real.
Traveling down this road so long. I don't really know what's going on. Everything I was taught was wrong. I swear the world got me thinking on you.
Keep rolling till the wheels off. Sometimes I get lost thinking in my own thoughts. come to find out them history books all false. A couple facts here and there just to throw you off. Damn, is this the life that we in? Our own government trying to kill us or put us up in a pen? I hope I reach somebody out there with the words that I spit. I hope I teach somebody out there to start looking within. You know what's right and what's wrong. You can feel it in your soul if you ain't became numb. We all gotta stick together if we want to overcome. I'm trying to reach all my thinkers, now reach for a gun.
Traveling, traveling down this road so long. I don't really know what's going on. Everything I was taught was wrong. I swear the world got me thinking all day long. All day long. I don't really know what's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Know My Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, Jay Boogie. With me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy, Jesse Lives. And we have got Uno the Prodigy on the air with us tonight.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah. So that was traveling, man. You want to give us any kind of any behind the screens, story behind traveling and you guys, laying it down?
Man, Karma is a cat that's out here, man. He's, like I said, he's from Oceanside, which is a little bit up north from where I'm at in San Diego. And he had got at me and asked me if I wanted to get on a song. I kind of messed with him beforehand because he's a videographer as well out here. So I had a couple videos done by him and kind of knew he was in the rap game and shit like that. So I dug his style. And when he shouted to me, I was like, yeah, of course, man. I'll hop on it. And right when I heard, I've been traveling, down this road so long, like it just kind of, I was like, damn, yeah, this is some real shit, man. It seems like something is always happening, Like just constant after constant drama in this world that we live in, Like it's you constantly have to find your peace, as far as what you're seeing on the news and what you see on the day-to-day, even in your own neighborhood nowadays. That's just kind of what it is, developed into what it is because of just, I guess, what we've seen.
Okay. Is that where you think that you get most of your inspiration is just situations that you personally go through? Is it easier for you to write that way or?
Off top, man. Anything that you hear me write, man, it's just my life. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't matter. Like if it comes to real hip hop shit, as far as lyricism, Like, I'm not rapping about shit I do not know about or have not lived through. Like, I'm not that rapper. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, man, that's pretty much what I rap about on the day to day. I have a lot of songs about the struggle. A lot of my tracks are more deeper. I'm religious as well. I believe in God. So a lot of my raps and stuff, sometimes they'll lean back on my beliefs, So that's what a lot of my more deep shit comes into play. I'm not perfect, But that's where a lot of my deeper tracks come out of.
Okay. All right, well, you're doing 90% of the, country genre, because, I know most of the motherfuckers never did that shit. They just, people think they look good in tight jeans and a fucking cowboy hat and fucking call it a goddamn day. Let's put him on tour.
My sister, man, she used to bum nothing but country when I was growing up, man. So that shit used to get on my nerves fucking super bad. But you know what I mean? Some of
now, don't get me wrong. I like
kind of
right. I mean, I like country music, but I like it when, like, it was, they were talking about shit that they, actually did, Like,
yeah.
There's one guy, I don't know, he lives fucking, on a fucking island somewhere or whether, or has a house there or something like that. And it's like, that's not country living. That's not country, lifestyle. Now, yeah. I'm not saying you don't want to upgrade, if you were a fucking farmhand, and you made it big time in country. Yeah, obviously you're going to upgrade, but,
Give me some old school Garth Brooks shit, man.
Right. You guys know what I'm saying. Like that old fucking
yeah,
country.
Yeah.
Like that was real fucking country. Like there was a, no, I think about probably about I don't know, let's say 2000. Let's say the end of the 90s, 2000 there. Like, from then until probably 5 years ago, there was just a lot of shit that came out. I mean, that's just my opinion. Now, there were some songs there that, you know, I thought were good and they were catchy. And, yeah, it's a good song. That's why it's popular. I get it or whatever. But a lot of it was just bullshit. That's just my opinion, and I ain't nobody, I ain't shit. That's my opinion, but opinions are like that. Everybody got one.
You're Jay to the boogie, bro. What you talking about? Don't tell that lie to the people.
You're somebody, homie.
I'm just saying, man. Like that. That just
nah. But you're right, bro. But here's the grand hustle they did. That happened to music, period. That happened to every single genre.
Yeah, it's true.
It's one of those crazy mind fucks when something wholesome became corporate, and we don't realize the transition. That's why there's a difference between, like, even, for example, the shit Jay-Z was saying on Reasonable Doubt. People don't understand. He can't talk about that now. He's a billionaire.
Yeah, real talk.
You see what I'm saying? So, but they want to hear Reasonable Doubt.
Keep it relevant.
Right. And that's the thing. So we've gotten so far from appreciating just genuine testimony.
Yep.
Because we want, as fans, like a lot of us want, because it's a weird thing, right? When I just look at music and how people like, how people partake in it now. We forget that nobody wants to admit that 90% of the public is miserable as fuck. They're just miserable fucking people. Yeah. And they want you to stay miserable as fuck too. They want you to stay fucked up with them too. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference between like when you say underground shit and mainstream shit. Underground shit is still relatable because underground artists aren't afraid to say, bro, I'm fucked up right now. Okay.
Nope.
I just did a rope in the back. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here on my last fucking leg. Who's with me? You're not going to get that. You get the glitz and glamour on the other side, and then everybody trying to fit into the, like even in hip-hop right now, we have a thing where they literally have a cookie-cutter version of an artist that you can be. And that's cool. When I was a kid, that was literally, you were considered a fucking biter. You were whack as fuck. You were a clone. Yeah. You were a toy. You were everything that wasn't real. Now, what the fuck is keeping it real?
Shit.
Now, motherfuckers will tell you, well, shit, get some money and shut the fuck up. Like, that's what they'll tell you now. So, even in, and I think we're so divided as people, we don't even realize they did it to country. They did it to pop. They did it to rock. They did it to hip-hop. They did it everything. Like, I don't even like to admit that I'm a fucking rapper anymore because this shit, it's almost like a given. Like, how many people do you meet now that aren't fucking rappers? Like, for real. Like, everybody wants to be fucking rappers. Like, trust me.
Like,
if
no. Let me tell you that I take this shit serious, though. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Shit, my favorite joke to tell people, I wish I could sing because I'd start a fucking boy band. I swear to God, if I could sing, I would do something else. Like, because it's so, I really would, I can harmonize enough, but I mean fucking sing, like a person who can actually sing the scale. That ain't me.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So I'm not even going to embarrass myself, but we don't realize we've fallen into this weird alternate universe where you have, where the independent part of music is actually the real part, and then you have the famous part. Which is that shit is a machine, and they're pushing people off a conveyor belt, you know.
That's
and right. It's especially in rap music now, it's one size fits all. It's not even a cultural thing anymore. And now you have people coming in like that traditionally seen hip hop as ghetto, trying to inject their own culture in it and push out what hip hop was to people.
Yeah,
and now we argue about that shit instead of like, nah, I want to hear, and this is my testimony on it, like. For me as an artist, I need to hear someone like Uno who's telling his story. I need that.
Right.
Without that, I don't have any inspiration for myself. I don't have that thing that I want to be like, what, how the fuck did he think of that shit? Like, I need that.
And I feel the same way as far as shit like that goes, because I used to listen to some mainstream shit, you know what I'm saying, and be like, well, that shit is dope as fuck, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, listen to some underground shit and legitimately get the curls, you know what I'm saying? Like, or not the curls, I would
right.
get fucking chills. You know what I mean? I get the chills
right.
and fucking be in my emotions, because I felt like, oh, damn, they're talking about, real fucked up times, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what...
Right,
we're all going through, and you know what I mean. Where we're growing up, like, this shit, I can relate to this shit like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? So I definitely relate with that, bro. Like 100%.
And tell me this, because growing up where I grew up, traveling wasn't a thing that you seen yourself doing. So for me,
nope.
That's also was hip hop. Like, if I wanted to learn about Atlanta, I could listen to Outkast. I wanted to learn about Miami, I could listen to, you know, Trick Daddy. Like,
yep.
that's how I learned. Hell, that's why 90% of the world is Crips and Bloods right now, between Colors
for
and
sure.
fucking gangster rap. That was
yep.
all music. You know what I'm saying? I ran into so many gang members that rep sets. It's like, bro, have you actually ever been to Compton? Like, I can't tell you how many times I've asked people that, like, you're from where now? Like, do you realize, like, you actually got to go there and like, have you actually, it's the weirdest thing. Like, 90%, and I know I'm putting motherfuckers on blast, but 90% of the Crips and Bloods I meet, I've always asked them that question. Like, bro, have you actually been, do you even know where 60s is, bro? Like, could you, like, go there? Do you know where Nickerson Gardens is?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, you know how to... It's the weirdest fucking shit, but that's the dope thing about music. Like, I can learn about your whole culture and see it vividly because of what you're telling me about.
Yeah,
like,
shit.
The first, one of the first fucking songs, hip-hop songs I ever heard that I was, like, wowed by was Kid Frost. Because I didn't realize that
sure.
L.A. Mexicans could rap. Like, that shit fucked my
yeah.
head. I'm like, this motherfucker's spitting, and I'm like, wait, one of the lowriders.
Me, Cordell... Cordell, me, Downer, homie Stone P, man, we just did a show with fucking Kid Frost not too long ago, actually. Yeah, from Washington and shit.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard a Hispanic cat rap.
Yeah, he's
and
dope, man.
Blew my mind, yeah. And motherfuckers was like,
honestly,
what are you listening
honestly,
to? I'm like,
seeing him perform at the age that he's at, man, and I'm not saying like, oh, this is an old-ass man, nah, man, but seeing him perform at the age that he's at, after having those heart issues, and I believe having a heart transplant, I believe that's what he had. This dude is puts on a show that I could not imagine, bro. Like, he was the best performer that night. There was Conejo there. There was Sad Boy Loco. There was us. You know what I mean? There was, I think, a couple more openers. But this OG, man, just killed, like, in my perspective, just because he controls the stage and the audience so well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's just a different era for them. They came from such a, like, and I mean, we could have a whole show about this, but, like, we as guys that are in it now truly don't understand the shoulders we stand on. Like, and those guys came from a time where they had to take the mountain to Muhammad. So
for Kid Frost.
Yes, definitely. And that's what I was saying before you came on about Coolio. Like, that used to blow my mind what he would do with his band. Like, that shit used to wow me. And just to understand the different ideology someone would have, because, you know, I grew up to the turntables and the microphone. I don't even realize that a drummer, a saxophone player, and a keyboardist, that's probably $3,000 that they got to pay me now. You see what I'm saying? Like, just, but
yep.
I think those, we need guys, like, all those cats that got on in the 90s, seriously, like, I feel like we need those guys to come back, because that's a whole, and the competitiveness of the shit they had to go through should be heard. Like, yeah, motherfuckers need to feel that insecurity of, no, this motherfucker trying to kill me today. Like, he, like, oh, in his performance, you trying, like, I got to go on after that. Like, people need to feel that pressure.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I remember days of shows, like, going to rap shows and shit and, like, listening to music that would legitimately be like, damn, this shit, like, this make you look behind you and shit. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not talking about, like, just gangster rap. Like, let me reflect back on the East Coast shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of them were thugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just on some thug shit, bro. They grew up in the streets, sold drugs. You know what I'm saying? Became who they were. And, you know what I mean? Just pursued a rap career and made a fucking life out of it. You know what I mean? And, like, it's just dope. Like, that's, like you said, that's the American dream of shit. But it's dope seeing that side of it, you know what I mean? And just knowing
right.
that a motherfucker can come so dope with lyrics and be smart and intelligent and be able to, you know what I'm saying, articulate what the fuck he wants to say and be a rapper and be from the streets at the same time, man, okay, for sure, let's be a part of this. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. Yeah, it's strange times we're living in, man. Like, it's like... We got so many parallel universes, but also we're living in a time where the consequences aren't as steep as they used to be. I mean,
yeah.
Like I was a teenager in the 90s. I grew up in like how I came up was if I said something about Uno around somebody else, whoever heard me say it is going to go find Uno, come find me and say, no, say what you said about Uno. Like, you don't hear that now. You got motherfuckers behind bot accounts talking shit. That ain't never been in a fist fight in their whole fucking
real
life.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
real
I can't
shit.
Trust the motherfucker that ain't been in one fist, like, not one fist fight. You agree with everybody? Nah, I can't fuck with you.
Real shit.
Stay away from me. You going to tell on everybody, bro. Like, when it comes down to it, you definitely go
to
run. I don't
know. A lot of people
go down with you.
Shit.
But it's a time where those consequences aren't there. Like, I'm crazy. I couldn't get my ass whooped by my parents. So I appreciate every ass whooping. It kept me out of prison. It really did.
Off top.
You know what I'm saying? I grew up around OGs that took guns out of my hands, not put guns in my hands.
Hell yeah.
And I don't. Me and my cousin were talking about that shit yesterday. We never thought about that. Like, that's the kind of big homies we had. Like, nah, bro, this ain't
hell
you.
Yeah.
Now you got motherfuckers that'll crash dumb you. And tell
you
what's
I know a lot of, I know a lot of homies that I grew up with and shit that are locked up. Shit, they're big homies. Yeah, you're right. That's just fucked up.
Yeah, it's the weirdest. It's the well, if you think about most of the beefs that we have, right, inner neighborhood beefs, right? It's usually over something. Either your big homie got his ass whooped by somebody. It's over a girl, or over jealousy. Over somebody, over a girl, but it usually goes back to that shit. It's a weird, or somebody, or you got the legitimate shit where somebody actually hit a lick and they hit a lick on the wrong motherfucker. You then, but that it seems like it's getting few and far in between with that one.
Yeah.
It's usually over something like this man wasn't man enough just to take his L, and it usually was over a girl.
Hey, wars have been fought over some pussy now.
Yeah, but just think about how many lives have been taken over. Like, think about how many, like, you got youngsters that are at war right now that don't even know what they beefing over, bro.
Hell yeah.
It's crazy as that shit sounds. You know what I'm saying? Now, I didn't grow up in the most violent area, but at least you know about us. Like, like where I'm from, if you get shot, motherfucker, you had that shit coming. That's the one thing I appreciate about being from San Jose, California.
There was a reason, huh?
Yeah, like, cause the way I grew up is they taught us young that bodies bring the alphabet. We don't want the alphabet around here.
Yeah.
So if you got to do that, bro, it's got to be over something because, bro, that's everybody's fucked. When the detectives come and they find out, oh, it's because of them, then you got the FBI, then you got the D, bro, you fucking up everything. And if you say you about your money, then like, and that's what it was. It wasn't on no pussy shit. It was more of.
It's fucked up business.
This is a business too. Yeah, this is a business too. And your petty disagreements shouldn't fuck my pockets up. Like, if you don't like that man, handle it with that man. Or hit the motherfucker you shooting at. At least. Like, hit him, not everyone in the crowd.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, and even with the music, the music genres we have now, like, we don't even, like, even with NWA,
there was a this is what it is, but then this is where it goes.
Yep.
And if you break down all those legendary groups, NWA, Ghetto Boys, all those cats, it was this is where it is, but this is where you end up.
Real shit.
You know, like now it's just slide. Everybody slide on everybody. Just slide.
Yeah, that's real shit.
Because I can. 30-round clip bigger than me.
Yeah. Because I don't want to fight. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty much pretty much what it is, bro.
Yeah. Because I want to gangbang on you on fucking on Instagram. Like, damn, homie. But, oh, you know. But back to this music shit. So, actually, I got to give you some props because my boy S-Dot actually was hipping me to you a few weeks back.
Oh, man. Shout out S-Dot, man.
And that's a huge compliment to you. And I want to pass you your roses on that because anyone who really knows me, I'm a fucking snob when it comes to lyrics and shit.
Yeah.
So being that he passed you that compliment, like, yeah, no, you need to check out Uno. Like, he go. Like, he really go. Like, bro, like, you, I'm going
to
do a song with you. Because he was telling me he was going to do a song with you. And he was like, man, he goes, bro. And that's deep for me because if you tell me somebody goes and they don't, like, I'm going to be like, bro, never talk to me about music again ever in your life. We're still friends.
Sure.
Don't you ever recommend motherfucking music in your life? Because I will disrespect the hell out of you. I will just literally walk away from you mid-conversation. So I just wanted to give you those roses because I don't think we often it just gets lost in the shuffle because we don't get to hear the conversations that are going on in the rooms that we're not in.
I really appreciate that, bro. Real shit. And S-Dot, man. S-Dot, I really appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
So tell us about, because I heard you say you grew up in the Skyline section of San Diego, which is not a game at all.
Yeah.
So for y'all that don't know, you know, I always have this, like, where he's from, they're not playing with you. I'm just going to be, so if you're ever traveling and you're on your tourist shit in California, because a lot of y'all think California's a game. If you get into the Skyline section of, and tell me if I'm wrong, of San Diego, just know, keep going, please.
Yeah,
they're not playing none of that good shit with you. None of them fucking pranks with you.
Not really a place to go.
Yeah, just keep it moving, bro. Like, you will at least get the paint slapped off your face, and that's if you're lucky. So,
yeah.
And I like to try to give tour guides, because a lot of these cats think it's all fun and roses. Like, Hollywood is just the strip. You know what I'm saying? That's what the big thing I like to say. Hollywood is one block, bro. Outside of that, they not playing with you. Like, I'm just being honest. But,
it gets real.
But with that being said, could you break down what the scene is music-wise in San Diego?
A lot of artists out here, man. It's a lot of gang rap out here, man. You know what I'm saying? It's predominantly a lot of just gangster rap. I mean, you got your hip hop artists too that are really dope too, man. Like, I love San Diego as a whole, man, because there's just so much shit that comes out of here, man. Just like even back in the day, you got POD that came out of here too. You know what I'm saying? Like, just bands, fucking hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a cat right now that's fucking with Matt Child. His name is Obnoxious. Shout out Obnoxious, man. He's a dope ass motherfucker. If you do not know who he is, check him out, man. That's on some real underground hip hop shit. But yes, it's predominantly gangster rap, but there's a lot of talented real hip hop artists out here too, and even the gangster rap shit is dope. You know what I'm saying? It's just I try to, you know what I'm saying, I grew up, you know what I mean, so I stray far away from that right now because I got kids. You know what I'm saying? It's just the life that I live. I'm trying to make something of this music shit, so I'm more vibe to just real hip hop shit, lyrical shit. I'm real into Locksmith right now. But that's pretty much what it is.
Okay, so for you as an artist, what is the struggle being someone representing San Diego or trying to make it out of San Diego?
This, honestly, man, I don't really see a struggle, man. There's adversity in everything that you do, and anything that you try to become, man. If you have any goals set, you're gonna run into something. You know what I'm saying? But it's all about how you overcome those hurdles, bro. Like if you don't have the heart to get through that shit, or if you're not mentally sound in who you are, you're gonna fall apart if you ever make it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So for me, man, I had to go through a lot of bullshit in my life and become a man who I was supposed to be, not only in music shit, but for my family first, in order for me to even have a mind state to, hey, you know what, I'm gonna try to make something of this shit now. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much where my mind state as far as the struggle goes, man. Struggle in everything you do. You know what I mean? I work a 9-to-5 job, I support 5 kids, bro. You know what I mean? I got a wife and you know what I'm saying, do this music shit as well and take the shit serious, go on trips, man, go out of town, do these shows with my boy Downer, Cordell, Stone, you know what I mean, S-Dot, and we make the shit happen, man.
And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, was a bar. That's the first time we've ever got that answer, and that's one of the truest fucking answers I've heard to someone trying to make it out of their city. So just know that was one of those bars. So run that back when you get a chance and listen to what the man said. That's your homework for the listeners. Because one thing about this show, Uno, this show is really a artist-friendly show. That's what we try to encourage other artists to listen in. And what we wanted to gear this towards is because there's a lot of conversations as artists, we don't like sharing information with each other. It's like that weird, I don't want to help you because it might fuck me up.
For sure.
So what we've tried to create here is an atmosphere to have that conversation where nobody feels awkward or uncomfortable.
Okay.
With, you know, giving some game, or you got motherfuckers that try to charge you for bullshit information and they gonna help you do shit but get 2 likes anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate that you said that because I know that's a disease that we have as artists. We always think coming out of our city is the hardest, and nobody fucks with me, and it's a bunch of haters here, and we all got the same problem, bro. How do you attack it?
Network, get out there, man. Put the pedal to the middle, man, and put the footwork in, and you know what I mean, make the shit happen.
So what is In your career so far, what is there a favorite show you did or a good tour story, you know, a good road story?
That's a good one.
I mean, every show is dope, bro. It comes with its own, you know what I mean, like really exciting moments, you know what I mean, shit, I don't know, man, like being on the road is different, bro. I take care of my 5 kids, man, and I got a wife at home, so when I get out there, it's a completely, completely different life, you know what I mean? So it's dope being able to get out there, man. My favorite show, I would have to say, I guess, if I had to pick one, the first show that we did together was Arena Wars, and it was like an MMA event, where we got up in the middle of the octagon and shit, and we did the halftime show. Cordell actually sang the national anthem there, man, killed that shit. But, that would have to be my favorite show as far as right now. But each of them came with their dope experiences.
So without incriminating yourself, and you have the right to pass, what is the wildest shit that has happened to you while you are on the road?
The wildest shit. I mean, like, bro, I'm not crazy when it comes to, like, I don't party and shit like that, man. I'm too.
Right,
father,
but there's always those
what
the fuck moments, like, that's like, did you see that? Like, did you see that? Like, I saw that. Did you? Like, I'm not talking about like crazy. I'm talking about just those weird things that because people don't realize when you're on the road, there's just this weird shit that happens at times, and it's just like, I can't even make that story up. So that's what I'm getting at.
When I was when we were headed up to Oregon, man, to do that show for Arena Wars, we got caught. Me and my wife because she drove with me and shit. We got caught in like a fucking snow, like a flash snowstorm real quick, like because we came from San Diego and went all the way up north, you know what I mean? So we were passing the mountains out of San Francisco and we hit a fucking snow patch, bro. That I'm from San Diego, dog. I don't have snow out here, so I'm tripping right when I hit the snow. Like, oh shit, we're about to fall off this freeway.
Right.
I pull off. My boy Downer's going like 100 miles an hour down the freeway. I see him pass us. And he hits me up. He's like, what's up, bro? What happened, dog? Where are you guys going? And I was like, hey, man, I'm going to pull off right here, sleep on the side of the fucking freeway. You know what I mean? Like, fuck the bullshit. I'm not going to die. You know what I mean? And he was like, nah, keep going like 10 minutes more. And he was like, the snow clears out, bro. You'll be good. I'm like, all right, for sure. So I swear on everything I love, I'm going like 15 miles an hour down the fucking street. I mean, down the highway and shit. And sure enough, it cleared out, man. We got there, got to the hotel, bro. It was beautiful out there, man. Oregon is, it's beautiful out there, bro. But it's been some dope ass experiences, man. Taking these flights, you know what I'm saying? Writing music while I'm in the airport and shit like that about a life that's like, I'm truly, truly blessed to be able to do what the fuck I love to do. You know what I'm saying? And be travel to places and see new faces. You know what I mean? Just off of this music.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, seeing the snow for the first time is almost like seeing the world end. Because I had
don't get me
I
wrong.
I think that's just a California kid moment.
Don't get me wrong, bro. I seen the snow, man. We got up. You know what I mean? Like, well, east a little bit. You got like big Laguna Mountains and shit. It snows up there, and it gets pretty bad up there and shit. It's just as an adult, I've never really driven in thick falling snow. You know what I mean? That shit just caught me super off guard, man.
Well,
I ain't mad at you.
I say we play another song after that.
Yes, indeed.
What was that?
I just said I say we play another song after that story.
Yeah, hell yeah, let's get it.
Hell yeah. We got Horns and Halos, or They Know. What do you think?
We'll do Horns and Halos. We'll close out with They Know.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Horns and Halos. Again, this is Uno the Prodigy on air with us tonight, live on Note by Note Radio Show. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, number 718-664-9735. If you're listening in and you thought of a question maybe that you want to ask that me and Jesse haven't thought of, you just want to call in and show some love, you're more than welcome to do that, too. Again, that number is 718-664-9735. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Kill a horn with a halo. Never sell my soul for a peso. My path been written since the day on. I've been way low to crazy heights. I aim for lights when the shadows of mistakes that I've made seeming to block my sight. Seven times with the stagnant. Listen, get some line paper, black pen. Ride every thought that pulls you back in. Toss it in a can and get a matchstick. Spark it, toss it in, now you're past it. Work through the ashes, try to clear the smoke. Even though every breath you're taking burns your throat. Cause I promise if you persevere through mercy while you hurt and fear, you're turning every curse back to where it was all engineered. Fact, these dollars never quench me. Nope, not a slave to those whips and those chains, they don't impress me. I walk with God, so when the battle and the army start to rise, I'ma always be a thorn
I'm
in their side.
I'm killing horns with some halos. Close my eyes. With my babies trying to break through. Generational ties. Told my brother not to take those. Just to try flying. Cause now I'm out alone. Time to eat in me. I'm killing horns with some halos. Close my eyes. With my babies trying to break through. Generational ties. Told my brother not to take those. Just to try flying. Cause now I'm out alone. Time to eat in me. I'm killing horns with some halos.
You never know the pain behind a smiling face. I sow a seed with some hope that it's gonna find its way.
Come on.
You and me, we the
the same, but you just walked away. Hoping, hopefully, you won't be broken when approached again. Yeah. Too cold to breathe, but feeling free from all these broken chains. Yeah. Not holding me and my seeds in a hurtful place. Real. Over deep, feeling waves crashing in my face. Praying on my knees so my mistakes, they've been tossed in grace. Rest in peace, I'm a man they call the father. Yeah. So every single problem that I've caused, I've always went back and tried to solve them, speaking life into my kids. Yeah. Death around the corner, so I teach them how to listen, that no death could ever hold them. Nah. Respect, having some morals with every step. Staying loyal to your roots and be thankful for every breath. I'm blessed, truth, I truly know this life brings a payload. Yeah. You just gotta make it through the low.
I'm killing horns with some halos.
Close my eyes,
with my babies trying to break through.
Generational ties,
told my brother not to take those,
just to try flying.
Cause now I'm all alone, time to eat in me. I'm killing horns with some halos.
Close my eyes,
with my babies trying to break through.
Generational ties,
told my brother not to take those,
just to try flying.
Cause now I'm all alone, time to eat in me. I'm killing horns with some halos.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is now your host, Jay Boogie, with me broadcasting from his home studios, my boy Jesse Lives, and we have Uno the Prodigy on with us tonight. Gentlemen.
What's good? What's good?
Yes, yes.
Man, it's been a great show so far, man. It's been awesome.
I see you talking to people's spirits on that one. I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're speaking to that. You're speaking to that energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, real job.
That was definitely I don't know, with all the religious innuendos and stuff in there, man. I don't know. That's just really cool, man. It blended so well with what you were, what you were trying to incorporate in the song,
I really appreciate that.
Flawless in my eyes, man. That was really awesome, man. Everything sounded great.
You're looking out, bro. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean like,
absolutely.
When I wrote that song, man, there's a producer that shot it to me. His name is The Pick Beats, man. Shout out The Pick. He shot it to me, man, after I had heard it. I was like, this is a beautiful-ass beat. And I started writing to it, man. I've always been very close to my kids. You know what I'm saying? I try to raise them the right way, you know what I'm saying, so they have respect. Like, everything that I mentioned in the song, that's pretty much what it is. And like I said before, I have a religious background, you know what I'm saying, a religious foundation. So, of course, I'm going to lean back on that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cutting the generational ties that I grew up with, gang shit, gang violence, selling drugs, doing drugs, homeboys dying because it is bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have homeboys that are from the streets still. I'm not, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, fuck you guys. It's not like that, you know what I'm saying? I love the streets. I love where I came from, you know what I'm saying? But at a certain time, I had to grow up because of my kids and show them a better way, you know what I mean? So I really do appreciate you seeing that, man, like, real shit.
Oh, man, it was phenomenal, man. It was a great song for sure. I loved it.
So being someone that's lived on both sides of things, the we'll just say the light and dark side of things. I have a trivia question for you. It's not a trick question.
For sure.
But I'm going to hit you with it. I just want to see what you're going to say. If you could live a day in the life of any artist in the world, any artist, living or dead, if you could just live their life for one day, who would it be?
I probably wouldn't, bro. I'm not looking to see somebody else's perspective of life. You know what I mean? Like I'm living what God gave me right now. I'm perfectly fine with that. Seeing everything. I mean, bro, like I've went on trips this year that in my whole life I never would have thought I would have been doing. You know what I'm saying? Like this alone makes me feel like, you know what? Like it's my life is good. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't have even if I wasn't doing that, bro, like I'm awake. You know what I'm saying? I woke up today. Like that's how I look at shit, man. That's just kind of the person I am. So yeah, bro, I probably wouldn't walk a day in the life of anybody, man.
Wow, that's probably the most humble answer we've ever had. You know, and
not to say that.
FYI. That's another bar.
And it's not to say that that, you know, people who answer, oh, you know, I'd like to be that person, that is a wrong answer. But we haven't had anybody, because that's not the first time Jesse's asked that question. So, but it's the first time somebody's answered that I wouldn't.
Right.
So,
but I understand why he answered that way, because with the individuals we're talking about who have an answer, the reason I ask that question is this, because it helps you see where someone is at emotionally and mentally and spiritually,
yeah.
Right? So people who have someone they would like to be, they're not where Uno is yet in how he sees his life. And so that's what that question is. It's a good way to gauge where because sometimes the person you look up to is what's driving you. So you have that side of the question too.
Yeah, real shit.
So it's a really, because a lot of us, especially, and it's funny because I'm like, especially in these days, like, we live in the most blind leading the blind age of, I guess, civilization right now. So
yeah.
There's so many people, even the word woke is losing its true meaning. So there's very few people that are awake, because when you say awake, a lot of folks really can't tell you what that really means, or walking in their own light. There's very few people who are consciously doing that and actively doing it, because they really just don't know what it is yet. So it's dope that he's in that space where he's actually enjoying his physical human experience, because many of us, we're not there yet.
And that's the thing about it.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off, bro. And that's the thing about it too. Like, yeah, like, okay, like, I'm, you know, let me just elaborate on what you're saying and shit. I am comfortable in the space that I'm in. Don't get me wrong, man. I go through a lot of shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and my wife have been through a lot of shit, bro. I went through a lot of shit with my friends, my family members, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. And it's caused a lot of stress in my life, but at the same time, bro, like, if you have a focus and you have a goal, man, that's just not going to stop you. Regardless of what you're going through in your life, man, if you have a strong mental when it comes to that shit, and you've been through enough shit to be like, you know what, there is always going to be another side, that's what the predominant focus should be. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you want to become something.
That's another bar. But... No, but it's true, though. I mean, but you need, and this is where I feel like we lack community. Because I've always felt like, and they say it takes a village to raise a child, and I think that's the part of the village that we've lost, because we don't hear, like for me personally, I can't speak for no one else, most of my morals outside of my parents come from shit I heard the people around me talking about. And seeing them doing, and even the big homies that were fucking up around me, like, I was always blessed to have big homies that'd be like, bro, this right here ain't you. Go do that over there. Yeah, I know I'm doing this shit, but bro, this ain't you. You know, and
what's up?
We don't. It's a weird thing, because it's like, I personally feel like it's not that people wouldn't say it; it's just they don't have it in them to give. A lot of times. So I appreciate that you saying what you're saying helps me realize that I'm not crazy at times.
Cause, bro.
You know, because there's a lot of times where I'm just like, y'all don't get what I'm talking about.
Or,
but it's like, no.
Or me and you
may
just
realize,
both be crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather be crazy. I'd rather be considered crazy than lost.
Off top.
You know, if that's a thing, because who says, as my grandfather would say, everybody needs a little crazy. It makes life interesting.
Real shit. That's some real shit.
Like, you know, so, and then we got to consider what we consider crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of motherfuckers that they said was crazy. They said they was heretics or whatever they wanted to call them at the time, and they was actually prophets.
That's some real shit, bro.
Which is really deep. So at least I know that you didn't let whatever you've been through, you actually took the lessons And I feel like a lot of us don't. A lot of the, like my clients, I try to put that in them that, bro, you got to learn from the lesson. You know, it's everybody's so scared to make a mistake. Like, well, shit, you don't learn shit when shit's going good. Trust me. When shit's going good, that's when we start fucking up because we think we're invincible.
You learn your true character during the roughest patches, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You learn a lot about yourself when it's all bad.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You learn a lot about the people around you, you know?
That's real shit, too.
When things are bad. So, and that's the weirdest thing. As they say, you know, if you meet a real entrepreneur, the one thing about a successful one, they can tell you a thousand ways of how it didn't work.
Yep.
But how many of us actually, and I'll include myself, I'll just say in general, how many of us nowadays want to go through the thousand failures or however many failures it took to...
That is some real shit.
You know, it's a weird thing. But then everything comes so easy to us now. I mean, I was watching this, the Jay-Z, it was Jay-Z and Kevin Hart interview, and it was crazy how he touched on that when he was talking about, like, you know, the youth have so much information, but they don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
And I was like, that was a profound thing, and I felt like that went over a lot of people's heads. Like, yeah, we can give you the world, but, like if I gave you, because I was talking to a close friend of mine, and me and this cat have been through a lot together, and I was just basically saying, like, I'm glad back when we were, you know, 19, 20 years old, certain things didn't work out. Because the type of money I would have came into, I would have fucking self-destructed just based on who I was, just my mentality. Like, and it's weird because I've always been in these weird positions that could come into a lot of money. But there's always, but I do have a, ironically, I got a praying mother. And I used to be so mad.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck did that fall apart? Why did that fall apart? And then I'm at a straight shower, like, oh, shit. You saved my life right there.
Yeah.
That wasn't supposed to happen for me. Oh, shit. If I would have got into that, I would have got into that. Because I just got some partners, and I might, and if I'm talking too much, I apologize. Not to you, but
no,
the person I'm talking to. Like, I just had some partners that just caught a RICO case, right? And I know where they started out, where they started at, and I was a part of the scenario in the beginning because it was a genuine scenario. But then somewhere along the line, somebody got ambitious and it turned into something else. Like,
I was
tripping out the other day, like, bro, that could be me. I could be sitting there looking at them charges.
Hell yeah.
But I was pissed off that I fell out with who I fell out with at the time. But I feel like that was a blessing in disguise. I don't know why, because the way me and that person fell out, it was just out of the blue that we fell out. And it was one of those, like, fuck you, I don't fuck with you, I don't, if you, you know, I'm going this way, y'all go that way type scenario. So we don't realize how many times things go bad for us. That's really a blessing.
Yeah,
that's real, bro.
I wish my marriage had ended sooner.
Well,
I mean, I understand it's a blessing in disguise now, but
I wish it
had fucking ended a hell of a lot sooner than it did. Fuck that.
But would you know better, though? That's the weird thing. If it ended sooner, would you know better? Would you know not to fuck up like that or let that type of person around you again? That's the weird shit. And I hate, because it's like, you know,
I definitely had to go through it to realize what I was gaining, you know, like with my new girlfriend now. And, you know, and I'm not trying to say this in a comparison, you know, to compare them together or whatever. But it's night and day difference of, you know, how you treat, you know, how you're treating someone, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as respect back and forth.
Yeah.
So, and I'll never go back to, I mean, if something, you know, something happened to me and my girl fell out, you know, I have this standard now and that's what I would require. So I'd be much more picky and, you know, about things than I was just all being willing. Oh, I love her. Let's get married.
Right.
That's stupid.
But
hey,
you're not so stupid now,
men,
that's the crazy thing.
Us as men got to go through the ringer sometimes, going over to build something better afterwards. Yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
True indeed.
Oh, and I mean, and the same goes for women too. I'm not trying to exclude women. It's just as becoming a man, you know what I mean, and becoming a head of the household, or, you know what I'm saying, the head of your relationship, you know what I'm saying, it takes a lot of falling down first, man.
Right. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't consider myself an adult until I was like, you know, 26, 27 years old. That was about the first time I ever had thoughts, you know, like I'm doing adult shit, you know, like.
Shit, I'm still a kid,
and,
inside, man.
Yeah.
I'm still that way too.
Yeah.
I still gotta remind myself, because I always find myself with my little cousins like, man, I hate them old motherfuckers. Like, wait a minute, I am one of them.
I hate real shit.
Like, I hate them old motherfuckers, them old heads and shit. And it's like, damn it, never mind. But I agree with y'all. But never mind. So I'm never growing up. Yeah, for real. I do. That's the crazy thing, because, like, adults are assholes, man. I do. Like,
yeah,
because here's the thing.
It,
like,
man.
The one thing I never did was I remember what it was to be a kid and dealing with these fucking asshole adults that are just because I'm the adult. I never lost that. But it's crazy how
good
we
shit.
Hate that, but then we grow up and become that. I never want to become that asshole just because I'm the adult. Just do what I say. Nah, man, because most of the time they're full of shit. And then you grow up and learn about them and come to find out, bro, even when they were kids, they were full of shit.
For sure.
It's the weirdest. So, yes, I will sit at the kitty. If the kitty table's popping, I'm sitting at the kitty table. Forgive me. I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? If the kids are in the game room playing the video game and it sounds more fun in there, I'm in there on the Mario Kart with them. You know where to find me. I'll be with the nephews and the nieces.
I feel it.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend thinks, I mean, now I'm, you know, she thinks I'm immature as shit. And I was like, baby, you think I'm immature? She's like, honey, you smoke weed and watch cartoons and fucking eat cereal and shit. Like, yeah, you're a fucking man child.
What's wrong with that?
I'm like, all right, yeah.
Cartoons saved my life as a kid. They kept me out the street. I had to get home in time for them afternoon cartoons. We can't miss that Garfield and that Heathcliff.
That and them Saturday morning ones, man. Them Saturday morning
shit.
Cartoons. Hell yeah.
You had to be up on that, because I was always mad why Cobra Commander always retreating. Like, I never understood that. Like, stop retreating, homie, just fight. I was always mad at Cobra Commander, but you got squad, man. Why you always let them punk you like that?
Just let it happen, homie.
Yeah. You always got a great plan, and then you just retreat. You don't even try to plan. Like, and how come y'all ain't never shooting nobody? How come everybody always ejects before the plane blows up? Like, this ain't working for me.
Oh man!
Too many people getting away. That's why y'all keep losing. Y'all gotta start killing them, bro. Like, I was that kid. Like, I've always rooted for the bad guy. Like,
that's just hilarious.
So let's get back to talking about your music. You said you have some things you're dropping. Are you dropping singles? Are you thinking about dropping a project? You know, what's in the plans for you?
I'm probably going to do a little bit of both, bro. You know what I'm saying? Probably going to release my own EP as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still becoming an artist. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't discovered fully who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, my style of music, I have so many different, I'll hear a beat, bro, and then my next beat is going to be nothing like this song is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's completely different vibes, feels, but you know what I mean? That's a product of how I grew up and the music that I listen to and shit like that. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing singles, man. I'll do an EP as well. Like I said, I got that EP coming out with Downer. That's in the process, in the works right now. So release date's not out. Me and Cordell working on that song too that I just sent him today. It's just I'm pretty much all over the place, bro. I'll probably be getting in the studio with a live band pretty soon and put some hip-hop shit together with a live band, like you were saying on the last shit, you know what I mean? Like, see what I can do as far as that goes. Not on some rock shit, but on, you know what I mean, on some hip hop shit.
It's the next way of things.
For sure.
I could be honest with you. So
I was a drummer before anything.
Oh. Well, see, you already got the leg up because
okay.
You know, like I noticed it. Without the drummer, you don't have a band. So
off top.
You know how that goes.
Off top.
But bro, please take your time. Finding yourself
as
art. Take all the time in the world, please. You know, that's...
Hey, man,
honestly,
bro, I'm loving the process, man. Like, it's it's dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, when I was younger, man, I was rapping. I used to be like, oh, let's get the strike down. Let me get the strike down real quick, real quick. Not worrying about the quality or the development of, you know what I mean, the development I'm supposed to take as an artist and shit. And when I got older, man, like I said, for the past 3 years, it just got to a point to where it's like, I don't give a fuck if it takes a year, man. I'm going to make sure that this song is where it's supposed to be at, you know what I'm saying, before I release it. I want the lyrics to hit, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just going to put out bullshit. Like, I already know that half of the generation right now is not going to feel what I'm rapping about, you know what I'm saying, because they're on some other shit like we was talking about before, you know what I mean? But I want to connect to the people that are going to be able to, you know what I'm saying, and maybe try to mix a little bit of the new school shit, you know what I mean, in there too, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, I know they do, like, catchy-ass auto-tune hooks, but, like, I really dig some of the shit that they do come out with, you know what I'm saying? I just don't like what they talk about. But yeah, bro, like, yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I feel you. No, and that's good. You need the comparison. That's the thing.
Oh,
when new genres come in, people be so purist they don't realize, like how would I know that you were dope, right, if I never heard what trash is? Like,
For sure.
Forget. We, you know what I'm saying? We need the gimmicks. So it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've run into that where it's like, okay, y'all don't know any better. And most of these, fuck it, I'm going to say it. Most of these artists that are winning in certain places is, well, bro, you have zero competition where you are. It's just you.
Oh, yeah.
So they're just going to consume what you got.
Real shit.
You know what I'm saying? And that's dope that you can tap into so many different things, because eventually it's a thing I like to call the Britney Spears effect, right?
Yeah.
Everybody grows out of the catchy shit.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Like, if they don't fuck with you now, they'll come back to you. I mean, because there's shit I put out, like there's an album I put out like 5 years ago that I'm literally, like, people are now hitting me up like, bro, I didn't even catch what you were saying till yesterday. And it still fucks me up, because at the time it was just like, what don't y'all get? Why don't you get it? But because they weren't in the space they're in now. And
exactly.
That's the thing. So just not that you haven't heard this before, but bro, seriously, just really be you, because who is supposed to hear you and relate to you, they'll hear you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it took me a long time to really wrap my head around that as an artist myself, you know, and I was miserable until that idea was given to me. Like, because then you start trying to make, well, I'll say for me, I was put in a place where I was made to feel like I had to make music this way. And you need to do it like this.
Okay.
Nobody's going to fuck with you, or you're not going to get on. But that was, to me, that was the most miserable time of my fucking career, because that wasn't me at all. So I think you're in the right direction. I mean, you're in a good crowd. You're around seasoned artists, you know, with Downer and Cordell, who have been around the block
all
a few
tough.
Times. So, you know, you have the makings, and bro, you got a fucking story to tell. 99% of these motherfuckers don't have a story to tell.
For sure, yeah.
They just, I'm gonna be real with you. Like I said, I'm a snob when it comes to I mean, because I'm a writer myself. I mean, so. That's what you hear a lot of is, that's what's so hard. That's the ocean. The ocean is everyone who doesn't have a story to tell. So if I'm searching for something legitimate, I got to weed through all the shit that isn't from the heart.
Real
and I'll be lucky if I find you or someone like you. Because that's what, like, I wake up looking for music all the time, and it's just like, bro, why don't y'all just have a vote and just, everybody just vote to figure out who's the one guy that's going to rap like that. And then have a vote to see who's the guy that's going to rap like that. And then y'all all got to come with something else. Like, I wish I could say that shit, it would probably start the biggest argument ever. But that's what I feel. Like, can y'all just be one group?
Like, one group of 37 right. rappers, and y'all just kind of all shit. Fucking do that.
two bars that. A verse, man. Two bars each, a verse.
Yeah, fuck. Just to force people to do other shit.
Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, because I don't even trip on the youngsters being depressed right now, because the weirdest thing, and I've had this conversation with a few industry folks, and I feel like nobody's really paying attention to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah, it is drug rap, yeah, it is emo, but there's something that they're, and that's one thing what Kanye said, listen to the kids. There's something they're trying to tell us.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? But we just keep calling it trash.
I know there's a lot of depression, you know what I mean? I know there's a lot of depression, you know what I mean, in the music that's coming out right now. I'm not talking so much about, like, you know what I mean, like the shit I was talking about before, but, like, a lot of the, like, the Triple X, you know what I mean, shit that came out before and shit like that. I know the darkness and shit that's in that music, you know what I'm saying? I know that that motherfucker was going through a time in his life, you know what I'm saying, where it was fucking bad, too, you know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of his music raised a lot of people up, too, you know what I'm saying? It sucks he went out the way he
right.
did. But like, it's like I really do see that in the younger generation, man. Like I said, I'm really close to my kids, so I try to make sure that whatever they're going through, man, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you can do. This is the way, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
As far as the drug shit that's out right now, too, like when I'm 34, man. So in my younger generation, like, you had motherfuckers smoking weed and shit. Like, oh, yeah, you want to try some weed? Shit like that. Bro, I didn't smoke weed till I was 18. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just that type of person. I thought weed a little bit here and there and shit. I saw, you know what I mean? My homeboys were smoking it. But I never really smoked until I was 18. And I went through a long-ass period of my life where I was just smoking weed all the time and being just fucking lazy. You know what I'm saying? So after I developed, man, it just kind of made me catapult into the motherfucker I was supposed to be pretty much.
That's dope. Oh, yeah. Well, and it's needed. Just know it's needed. You know what I'm saying?
And
if anybody tries to tell you different, they're fucking lying. I love saying that.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
And I know motherfuckers get mad at me for it, but it's the fucking truth. Like, if anyone literally tries to tell you that you have to do it this way, bro, get 1,000 miles away from that motherfucker. Burn the boat you got away from him on it. Because I think that's the only way when they say, well, we got to get back to real music, I think that's the only way we get back is that everybody just tells their fucking story. And, man, some motherfuckers just got to realize, bro, this shit ain't, it's just, you're not good at this shit. Like, do what you're good at.
Okay.
That's a whole other, you know, discussion. <'cause it's,
laughs> For sure.
I'm sorry, it's just funny to say it out loud. Because I've been thinking that shit a lot of times, like, bro, you're not good at this. Like, please, please never do it again. But then I'd be considered a hater by saying it out loud, but it's the truth.
I mean, I suck pretty bad at one time, bro, like looking back. So, like, I understand completely where you're coming from. But, I mean, they might be in that time, too, you know what I'm saying, to where I was at, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Like pretty much
right.
just not
then,
knowing how to navigate it.
Right. But then there's, like, okay, I suck, and then there's, but there's, talent there, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
a
yeah,
lot
you're
of motherfuckers.
Right, you're right.
You feel me? Like you can hear
yeah,
the talent, you can hear the potential, but there's a lot of motherfuckers that are just rapping because it's cool.
It gets me girls. Yeah, no,
it
I
makes
feel
me.
The
yeah,
cool thing is shit.
Like, yeah, but it's the weirdest thing because let's be real, money isn't in performing. Like, I've made money performing. Don't give me the line. I've made a lot of money performing. But that's not where I got my big checks at in the industry. Like, so it's funny, like, dude, you literally want to be the workhorse? Okay, cool. I got a bridge in Brooklyn for sale right now. Like, if you ask me for my advice, I tell you don't be a fucking rapper. Be everything else. Like, but that's
sure.
just me. I mean, if you want to make money. Because most of them things
start
are fake
a brand.
As fuck. Yeah.
Start a brand on that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, get a little bit of money saved up and start something with it, man. Like, that's pretty much where the shit
right.
comes down to, business mindset.
Right. Because I could send you on tour, and then you come back from your tour, and I got a Bentley, and you going back home to your mama. Like, that's really how a lot of this shit happens. But that's a whole,
exactly.
that's a whole other thing. Hey, well, shit, let's get that third song in.
So,
hell yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
I was just thinking. So we've got They Know. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Uno the Prodigy. And we'll be right back. Quick word in about this song. And then we'll call it a night and leave everybody to their weekend. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Show, and that was They Know by Uno the Prodigy, the artist of the week this week on Note by Note. Man, that was a fucking banger right there.
On that, I appreciate on that.
Real leg there, just all that. That shit was fire.
You're looking out, bro. I really appreciate that, man. Yeah, that song, man, is actually my boy Ness, man. Tony Hill on Facebook, Ness Music on Instagram. He had hollered at me, man, and shot me that beat with the hook on it. And the shit blew me away, bro. The shit is, you know what I mean, it's just a dope vibe to it, you know what I mean? It reminded me of some new school shit, you know what I'm saying? And like I told you, you know what I'm saying, I've been trying to, you know what I mean, mesh the lyricalness with some new school vibes, you know what I mean? So it's cool that he had sent me that so I could actually, you know, put this shit into motion, you know what I mean, see what came of it, bro. And I'm really happy, man. Soldier, my boy Soldier Sick, he's on the second verse, killed that shit, bro. It just came together really nice, bro. It's unreleased right now, man, but that shit's going to be released pretty soon. We got a video coming out for it, too, that we're going to be recording pretty soon.
Shit, guys?
Hell yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I was like, sound effects.
um you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. If you haven't already during the show, please go follow Uno on his socials and stuff, and follow along with what he's got going on, music he's got coming out, and everything like that. You know, if you listen to the show, obviously you can tell, you know, he's got a lot going on, and very promising future for, you know, from what, you know, we can hear, you know, the talent in his music and everything like that. So, and Uno, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on.
Hey, likewise.
It's means a lot to me and Jesse. This is what we live for. You know, we love talking music, and we love having people on and just, you know, hearing their story. I think me and him are both kind of kindred spirits like that. You know, hear about somebody's life and what they, you know, went through, and, you know, what they've gone through and what they've overcome, you know, is always, you know, inspiring to hear and everything like that, man. So, you know, thank you for coming on. It means a lot to, you know, not just Note by Note Radio Show, but, you know, everybody here at Whiskey Curiosity Media for taking the time. You know, I know time is money, and, you know, giving up 2 hours on a Friday night for us, you know, you got two or five babies, you know, wife and everything. I mean, that's a lot of sacrificing right there. You know, that's a lot of time with family. So that means, you know, that's one of the most precious gifts in the world you can give somebody is your time, man. So thank you for your time.
Hey, man, likewise. I appreciate the conversation, man. Hopefully we can do it again soon. Shout out to Cordell, man. Cordell, thank you, bro.
I'm surprised we didn't hear from him. Honestly.
Oh, he's moving today, bro. I chopped it up with him a little bit earlier. He's moving and shit today, man. He got some big things popping, so got a lot of shit going.
Hell yeah. Well, good for him. You know, Cordell's a big friend of the show. And we appreciate him and all of his efforts and everything he's done to, you know, bring artists to our show and everything like that. So of course, definitely a big shout out to Cordell Drake, Spokane, Washington. You know, so go follow along him, follow along with his career too, as well on his social media. Is there any,
if you ever have anything you want to debut, you know, you could bring it here and use this platform to, launch
beautiful,
it.
Bro. I definitely got you on that, man. I'll take you guys up on that. That's beautiful, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm, you know, that's what we're here for, man. You know? That's exactly what we're here to do, man. So, again, you know, I want to thank you, and I hope we do keep in touch, and, you know, we get you on here, you know, again, maybe in 5-6 months or something like that, you know, and, you know, you can give us an update on, you know, what's been going on with you since we had you on tonight, man.
Most definitely, brother. That sounds good, man.
All right. Jesse, you want to say your farewells and your goodbyes, sir?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Keep the bars. Keep the bars over the bullshit, please. You know what I'm saying? If you need merch, holler at your boy. You know, I'll get you right, you know, because I know your artist is broke. You're not going to make money on your rap. You make money on your merch. Trust me, I know.
Hell yeah. I got you. I'll holler at you on that for sure, bro.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, just keep it genuine, man. Let's keep it quality, world. We need more quality, less of the bullshit. Hate on the bullshit, love the quality. There we go.
Yep.
Absolutely, man. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for coming on, Jesse. It's always a fucking pleasure, man. I love doing these shows with you every week. I mean, even though we took a month off. But, you know, I love doing these shows with you, and glad we're getting back in the saddle. So,
yeah.
You guys to have the most wonderful weekend. Be safe out there. It's a crazy world. And
likewise,
as always,
likewise.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, please keep your hearts open and your radios up. Have a good weekend, everybody.